Yes, welcome back to Morning Glory. We've got a new panel up, by the way. Matt, he worked breakfast this morning. He's cheating on us. We've got Alex. How are you going, Alex?
Very well, Matty. Yeah. Glad to be in here.
It took me 17 minutes to realise.
Yeah, I know.
I was going, gee, Matt seems to be laughing a lot.
Yeah. Actually, Webby said to me before, geez, Matt's having an off day. No, mate.
Only
joking. Alex, you're part of this show almost as much as I am. Mate, tell us, where are you from?
I'm from the beaches. Now living down in Neutral Bay. Very nice spot, near the water. Yeah. I love the water.
Where's Neutral Bay at?
So it's about 5 minutes, about 5 minutes from the studio, Joey. Yeah.
I have no idea about Sydney.
Yeah. Joey asked
Compare
me
it to a footy
was.
Ground. Is it near Cogra?
The closest is North Sydney Oval.
Neutral Bay, it's not near Double Bay.
No, close to the Oaks. Yeah, you'll know the Oaks.
No, I've never been there.
Right.
I probably have been, but I can't remember.
There's a McDonald's there.
I was the one looking like Cookie Monster in the corner.
Alex, you married?
No, girlfriend of 4 years.
Yeah, let me tell you, don't do it. Don't get married. Okay. Yeah. Well, yep.
Sage.
Trust me.
We'll keep with the election, teal. It's been probably the biggest story of 2022, Trent Barrett, Phil Gould, Canterbury Bulldogs saga. Look, fellas, let's talk freely here.
That's dangerous.
Did Trent quit? Was he sacked? Or, in my opinion, was he given the old wink, wink, nudge, nudge? Probably time to go.
I'd be voting for the latter.
Yeah.
I think he just had enough. I spoke to him a couple of times, good mates with Baz.
Right.
And I've never, ever heard anyone so rattled in my life.
That last press conference, it was all over his face. I reckon it's been all over his face all year, to be honest.
And until you've been in that situation, you go, it must be hard. Imagine the pressure. Until you're in that situation, you wouldn't understand. You can imagine, but you could not fathom how hard, not only on him, but also on the family. He's got a young family. It must be horrendous.
Well, Joey, you know, it's hard to get a coaching job. And Trent walked away from Manly. Now he's walked the Dogs. I thought after the Manly thing, I thought he was lucky to get the Dogs job. But now, boys, would you say, his future in coaching is as
maybe
an assistant.
Another job eventually.
Head coach?
Yeah, I think so.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, I do.
In Super League?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's where
go over to Super League.
It could do worse. Mm. See, people are a little bit obsessed with how it happened. I'm not. I just think it's, at the end of the day, he'd won 5 games in 34.
That's it.
And that's just not tenable. And if you're going to be a coach at the Bulldogs, you have to be really, really strong. And walking into that situation with the cap the way it was, with what was left there in the last few years, and how they've just got away from being so Canterbury, it was always going to be a tough job for whichever coach walked in there, and it's an even tougher job for whichever coach takes over now.
It's time to forge, I think for the Dogs sometimes, I think it's time to forge a new identity. Because, like, everyone, whenever we talk about the Bulldogs, they go, mate, the old Dogs of War. You know, now, that's fine. But the successful era before that was Bulldogs the Entertainers.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden they changed tact. You know, if they keep looking to go back to that, back to the Dogs of War, it may never eventuate. You've got to form your own culture, form your own style. You know, every generation of player, every era.
I said it in my column yesterday.
Yep.
In the award-winning...
Soon
my
award-winning
column.
Well written.
They need to go outside the square. I think the Walker brothers is something they should really consider. You play that unique style, which I think would attract players to go there to play all-out attack. Everyone plays the same. Everyone plays same in the competition. Something new ideas, something to stimulate the competition, stimulate creative players to go there. Because at the moment, give me the quote, it actually is not from Gandhi either.
Oh, yeah. Have we stuffed that up?
Yeah.
Hang on a second, Webby. Doesn't Joey write his own article?
I'm just more like a conduit.
Yeah.
I'm like Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost. Like, I just...
Oh, yeah.
He has
okay.
come through me.
Yeah. Poor old Patrick
Nothing
Swayze.
Changes if nothing changes.
Is that not Gandhi?
No. Well, it was some bloke I met at the RSL.
Oh, you mixed
some
it up.
Reptile down the path.
Yeah.
Did you get pulled up on it?
Oh, a missus pulled me out.
Oh, you said that's who told you.
Pulled me out.
Boys, looking back in hindsight, many believe, me included at the time, that when Gus took over that training session,
yes,
it was the beginning of the end.
That
that's how it's transpired. And Gus, after at the time, Gus scoffed at the media and said, oh, come on, you know, that's ridiculous. But that's how it's happened.
But I find this so, Matty, like everyone keeps trying to pull Gus up on what he said publicly. Mm. Like, that's Gus. Gus just muddies the waters, you know. He just throws it out there. I feel like half the time he's taking the piss.
They just haven't got, in the key positions, they haven't got players who consistently can do it week in, week out.
Yeah.
In our real level. And look at the top teams in the key positions. Look at Melbourne. You got Pappenhausen, Munster, Jerome Hughes, Harry Grant. You look at Penrith, Nathan, Jerome.
Of course.
That's the difference.
That was a seminal moment, I reckon, with, you're right, whether Baz asked him to or Gus felt he had to, the fact that Gus had to get involved so early was I thought that was almost like that was the last straw.
It was a situation that he couldn't win, Trent.
No.
Because if they got beat, he was always going to be blind. Look at this, we need to change. And when they won, they went, look, that's what Gus has done. Look, Joey, I understand that about not having the players, but you know, Dean Pay, at the time when he got sacked, everyone sort of went, oh, geez, that's a bit tough. He was doing a good job. Looking back in hindsight now, he was doing an outstanding job because he had a weaker roster than Trent has had. He was coaching 33%. Baz is 12%.
Yeah. It's just going to take a long time for him to turn things around. And they're going to need some patience, and they're going to have to go through a lot of heartache. But I don't think it's as hard for what Gould has to do there compared to what he had to do at Penrith, because Penrith are on the verge of insolvency. I know they had a lot of juniors, but they were losing a lot of those juniors. And their cap was in just a worse position, if not worse, than what it is at the Bulldogs. Yeah. They get Reid Marnie next year and then Kikau. As long as they stay strong, they weed out some other players. And I think the cap next year is a big squeeze, but the year after, there's just going to be a big roster cleanup.
Okay, I'll ask you this. Yep. You parachute Nathan Cleary in there.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Are they around the top eight with the squad they've got?
Yes, they are. But, Joey, how many Nathan Clearys are there?
Well, there's no halfbacks around.
There's no halfbacks. You put Nathan Cleary in the Newcastle Knights, and suddenly Newcastle Knights are sitting at the moment probably around 5, 6, 7.
That's the argument of how do the teams down the bottom who are trying to rebuild, how can they do it when the key position at halfback, there is none around?
There's not enough sevens and not enough players across the board.
Which then goes back to my theory of, one, overcoaching in juniors.
Yep.
You look at Sam Walker, he's the only halfback in the last 20 years have come in who plays with flair because his father and uncle have mentored him and coached him. And then my other one is weight divisions in juniors. There's less kids playing because little kids are scared. And generally, who are the kids who turn out to be halfbacks and dummy halves? The little kids.
Yeah they do.
They're not learning their trade. Only way they can learn your trade, if you're a small kid now, is playing touch footy. Encourage any kids. Go play touch footy as much as you can.
Well, I think it's important now, Webby, that the Bulldogs start winning. Not winning every week, but just start to turn things around a little bit under Mick Potter, because recruitment is primary for them. And not just recruitment, but you can't tell me at the moment that Matt Burton's sitting there at night going, I was in the premiership winning side last year with blokes that were like family, some of my best mates, who were a team that are probably going to dominate for the next decade.
I wonder now
he's getting unders, and that was smart from the Bulldogs. That's really good business from the Bulldogs, and now they're trying to upgrade him. But it's a problem.
Yeah, and then he has that player option in 24. I wonder if him and Josh Adokar have compared notes at all in the last few months.
Josh Adokar's out too. He's not playing this week.
And that's
and I think Burton's had a bad flu.
I found I was actually researching some other story this week and stumbled upon a column in the Sun Herald from Phil Gould from 2006 when Parramatta edged Brian Smith out of the door. And this is a line from Gus's column. Once rugby league players are offered ready-made excuses for failure, they generally accept them. Mm. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the Bulldogs and how they play out the rest of this year.
Yeah. Some of the players, what has transpired now is evidence that it was panic buying. Because Paul Vaughan won't be there next year. Matt Dufty won't be there next year. There's talk that they're offering Tevita around.
He said he's not going to go anywhere, Pangai Junior. I reckon, given the way that he's played in the last few weeks, I reckon they'd pack his bags and let him go.
Dolphins?
Yeah. But Bennett seems to be the only one who thinks he can unlock Tevita Pangai Junior, but Yeah, he's not firing for the Bulldogs.
Righto, who's the next coach? Jeez. Well,
I don't think it, I reckon it's really tricky. There's a bit of mail around on Monday that that Paul Green would be all but there this week. Now, I thought that was ridiculous, and it proved not to be right. But there seemed that Gus has shown his hand a little bit by saying it needs an experienced coach. I don't think, I know he's got a high opinion of Cameron Serrato. I don't think Serrato will go there in a million years.
You would Shane not
Flanagan?
Go there.
Well, see, and I think Flanagan's, everyone's talking about Flano, and people paint the picture because Wayne Beavis manages Flanagan. He's also tight with Gus, but he also managed Trent Barrett. But there's a headache there with Kyle as the halfback.
Yeah.
I don't think, and people will go, well, it's worked. It works at other clubs. It works with at Penrith. Well, no, with no disrespect to Cole, he's not Nathan Cleary. No.
Well, Gus
so it's
quote,
a tricky dynamic there.
Gus's quote the other day, where he said to Trent, "You're not a bulldog boy, you know, and you can't be protected if things go bad." You know, so I get that. So okay, what are your options? Now Mick Potter's gone in. If Mick Potter suddenly turns things around and has 50% win loss record, then he might be the bloke. But
Jimmy Dimmick.
But by the same token, you know, if you're a bulldog boy, they'll look after you. Well, look at Dean Pay.
So this is what I. So you guys tell me, like it seemed almost like there was a belief there that Newcastle could only, you know, needed Newcastle people to coach them.
Now, well, Malcolm Reilly.
Exactly.
Now, you know what it was for Malcolm Reilly? Why it suited was Malcolm had the same ideals that suited the city.
Gotcha. So do you need a Canterbury person to coach Canterbury?
No, I don't. You just need a person who has got the same ideals of what the club is built on.
Mm.
That's what you need. Mate, I tell you what, they could do a lot worse. That if you want to do, if you need a Bulldogs person, to go back to Dean Pay and say, listen, you know, we may do the Fonzie. Maybe you could do a lot worse. But I think Mick Potter's going to have the first crack.
Is it wrong for a club, not only the Bulldogs, but someone like Newcastle, to hang their hat on the DNA that was produced 30 years ago?
No.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, the game's changed. Characters have changed. The new generation, the players are just naturally different to eras gone by. I think it's dangerous to try to compare and set your culture, that which was in place with different players, different coaches, different administration, but also different generations.
Yeah.
The young blokes are different these days.
Well, last year, Adam O'Brien
said...
Yeah, but
the fans... They that's what they get drawn towards.
They want success.
What they've always been.
You know, Webby, like last...
Yeah, you're not. Don't worry about
last
the
year, Adam O'Brien said to me, he said, mate, I'll get, you know, we get some of the players to have a talk. Would you come on and have a talk to the players via Zoom? And so when I got in, the first thing I said, listen, boys, I'm not going to talk about 97 or that era, because I'm sick of talking about it, and I imagine you guys are sick to death of hearing about it. Mm. And I'm sick... And those guys must be sick to death of hearing people say, oh, mate, back in the late 80s and right through the 90s, I tell you what, mate, the players were so tough and so talented and all that. Mate, that wasn't the case. There were some really tough years, and not every player was a hard man. It wasn't the case. You're looking back in hindsight, rose-coloured glasses.
Mm.
You know, so I feel sorry. That's one thing. We go back to the 90s, and I feel sorry for the current crop of Knights. They must be absolutely sick to death of hearing about our era.
About the long shadow you two have cast over the club and the town.
And man, in radio now, you know.
Yeah, like, and in media.
Ray Hadley rang me the other day and he said, mate, can you please, I'll offer you any sort of money just to stop. You're the new Alan Jones. Ray, I'll tell you what, I'm not. I know. We'll take a break. Now, after the break, it's time to put the boot into people with honest opinions.